football. It is what it is. It is what it is.
Zaire Emery goes for goal and finishes off the PSG victory.
Peut-être devenir possible grâce à Monsieur Lionel Messi. Quelle frappe!
Le festival démarre pour Kylian Mbappé. La frappe, le poteau et le but.
Hello and welcome to PSG Review, the show in the eye of the storm as hurt people hurt people. There's a lot of disappointment and frustration around our club, but at the same time, is this the turning point? There are many rumors that are giving me a lot of hope, not just based on the names to recruit, but a different value system, a sort of new philosophy. And now we have also seen the catharsis. It seems that the standoff between the club and its most passionate and dedicated fans, the ultras, seem to have found a common tune, and that's really great for everyone involved, because a club is a big ecosystem and it's not just one thing. It's the players, you know, they are on the pitch and they are very, very important, as are the tactics that the manager comes up with and enforces. The whole admin side and various levels of directors, a well-functioning team needs all those things. And as much as the football romantic in me might wish that it wasn't so much so, the whole marketing and business side also needs to work on this level. When we're talking about football on this level, it is very important. And I guess it's about finding the balance between all these different things, but we should never underestimate the power and significance of the fans. All the other stuff may change, players change their shirt to another color in another city, but the permanent fixture of this whole thing is the fan base. And today on PSG Review, we will talk about the PSG Ultras. My name is Mikko. You can find and follow me online at PSG Helsinki on social media, Twitter and Instagram. But this time the topic is such that I need some help. I need some local knowledge and experience. Someone who isn't analyzing things from afar, but who likes to be in the thick of it all. So we have Stu from the Parisian Londoner here. Great to have you back on PSG Review. How have you been?
Thanks for having me. Thanks for having me again. It's a pleasure to be back on your podcast, quality podcast. I've been listening to it for ages now, mate. So congratulations on the consistency and the quality of the content. It's amazing, and I'm just honored to be back, mate. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much, and I feel likewise the same thing with what you're doing and what you guys as Parisian Londoner collective are doing. That's always also worth listening and
appreciate
watching
that,
and checking out. But let's look at the situation with our ultras. That is our topic of conversation today. But sort of before we get into that, can you remind us again, what is your angle to PSG? You are a Parisian person now living in London, but you travel back home fairly regularly to attend the matches at Park.
So just as a little reminder for those who are not following what we do, are Parisian Londoners. So we are born and raised Parisians and supporting the club since the 90s. We are based in London and also based in Paris. So few of the people in the team are London based, the other in Paris. We travel for games, away games and home games during the season. I'd say me personally, since I've moved to London, I've been attending roughly around 7 to 8 games at home in Paris per season, which is a decent amount of games, to be fair, considering the costs that are involved, but also going to away games as well. So we basically in the 90s, 2000s used to attend games with the ultras. We are not part of the ultras. So before we start the conversation, I just would like to clarify that my opinion is not the ultras' opinion, and I'm not speaking on behalf of any ultra group whatsoever. I have no legitimacy to do that. I'll just speak by experience, by the fact that we are Parisian Londoner, always attend games with the ultras back in the 2000s, 90s, and now with the recent Collectif Ultra Paris in the Auteuil stand. It's been a fascinating period for PSG in regards to the ultras relationship with the club before 2010 and post 2010 as well. We have known both periods that are obviously different, and we're really into the football culture, really into the ultra culture as well. So I'm definitely looking forward to talk to that one.
Absolutely. So you're not inside the ultras, but you are sort of like very, very close to.
Yeah. So basically, the way it works, when you're part of an ultra group, it's like every association of fans. You are contributing, you need to pay a little fee, and you are also contributing to the daily, weekly life of the group by obviously gathering with people of your group. So you have different groups, ultra groups in the Auto East End. You have the Note at the moment. Back in the days, we had different groups. We had Lutes Valco in Auteuil. We have the Supras as well. We have the Tigris as well, and now we have and I'm just talking about the main ones. There were a few others as well, but Authentics as well were here. But now we have Notesia. We have LCC, Le Combat Continue. We have Paria Cortis. We have Casos Team. We have all the groups of fans that are, I'm not mentioning all of them, that are now part of the Auteuil stand, which is known to be the ultra stand, the one singing and putting the atmosphere in the stadium from minute zero, even before the game, until minute 90 plus, I don't know. This is the ultra stand. And it's been a bit of a complicated situation in the recent days and weeks. With the club, and I'll be more than happy to share what I know and what's been done, and hopefully a good future for the ultras with the club.
Absolutely, and I have said this before online, and I will say this again, that when we talk about the PSG ultras, whether we agree or not with every choice or accent they make, with every whistle or banner, I never really want to criticize them, because their stake at this club is sort of far, far, far beyond mine. And as much as I might love the club, I make very few sacrifices, unlike what they do. And in this world, we don't always have to agree with everybody, but I think the respect is very important. Yes. And I think this is something that has kind of like been getting a little bit lost in translation sometimes. Because when we talk about these ultras, like you said, they're very dedicated fans, and they always bring the atmosphere, both at park and wherever, you know, they're able to travel. And it's sort of like the football romantic part of the entire PSG operation. Yeah. That's what they've been doing. And they also do various charity projects. And now they've been having sort of these demands, or they've been talking with the club and they're kind of guarding the values that they feel, you know, are behind this club. But what kind of a group the ultras are? We have the Collectif Ultras Paris, and within there are smaller groups you already mentioned.
The Collectif Ultra Paris is the group including all those small group of ultras, basically. So it's like the head of the ultras in the Auteuil stand. Back in the days, by the way, I've only spoken about Auteuil, but back in the days, the first ultra group of PSG that was created was in Boulogne, on the other end, that has been now closed. It does not longer exist. But then in 1991, the first ultra group in Auteuil was created, the Supra Auteuil. And then some others followed, such as Lutes Falco, Tigris, Authentics, etc. We had the Hulikul as well on the side, in the other end. But again, there's loads of ultra groups. But the what happened recently with Collectif Ultra Paris, that came back with new ultra groups, etc., is that with everything that happened with Messi, Neymar, etc., loads of allegedly PSG fans went after the ultras for protesting against the club's ownership, club's board of directors, asking for some specific demands in regards to respecting the values of the club, the values of the badge, the respecting the true dedicated fans of PSG, not necessarily just the ultras, because as I said to you, there are people that are actually doing the job, that are involved in preparing the animations inside the stand by painting the tifos, involved in some charity projects, preparing the disposition inside the and coordination inside the stand, going on away games, organizing the away games, booking the buses, it's such a massive amount of work that people tend to ignore, and such an amazing sacrifice from a personal life perspective that people tend to think that there is a competition between fans, whereas there is not. There is no competition between the ultras and people that are not ultras. I am not myself an ultra. I've always been attending games with the ultras. I've always been close to the ultras. I've always been in the stands as well with them, because that's the atmosphere I like. I've been involved sometimes in some preparations, but there is nothing to compare with someone that is actually part of, let's say, Notesia, which is a current ultra group that is attending on a weekly basis some meetings with the group to prepare the tifo for the next game. So they're actually calculating where the people is going to sit, what is the size of the tifo, at what minute of the game the tifo will be deployed, who has to hold the tifo, at what time do we change it, how do we bring the tifo inside the stands. They do rehearsals as well because they have access to the stadium when it's empty, so they can try the tifo before the actual game. Let's say, for example, the massive tifo they did for the Bayern Munich game, for example, or the anniversary of an ultra group recently as well. People they tend to forget that this is people that are doing this. They are sacrificing their obviously their family lives. They are obviously making some arrangements at a personal level, professional level, etc., to make themselves available to organize this kind of animations, this kind of atmosphere that is actually pushing the players, pushing the squad, pushing the badge, the team to their limit, which is the 12th man on the pitch, basically. And when everything that happened recently, especially on social networks, you had people going after the ultras for protesting against this and that. Whether you agree with them or not, I think they've been shown a lot of disrespect recently, because people that were usually criticizing them were people that were not recognizing the dedication of those PSG fans, ultras, and we're talking about all year long. Seasons after seasons, after away games, after home games, after away games, after home games. And it's greater than this, mate. It even goes with dedication for the women's team. Yes. It goes with dedication for the handball team as well, PSG handball. They attend games of PSG handball and they put the atmosphere in PSG handball as well. So what I'm trying to say is that local, dedicated PSG ultras are not in competition with you in Helsinki or someone in the US supporting the club. We're not saying those people are not as a fan of PSG as the ultras. We're just saying it is different. It's a different way to support. It's a different way to be dedicated to the club. It's a different way to sacrifice. It's a different way to manage your personal and professional life balance with your passion, comparing to someone that is just arranging time to watch the games, like I do, for example, in London. Obviously, I do go to Paris because it's around the corner and I'm involved in this type of stuff. But what I do, comparing to someone that is based in Paris and preparing the tifos and everything, is uncomparable. I just arrange to watch the game, make sure I will be available, maybe do a little debrief, match reaction. Whatever. That is nothing comparing to the days of preparation, an amazing display for a massive game, etc. I mean, or even organizing an away game. Yeah. So I'd say whether you agree with their position on getting rid of Neymar, getting rid of Messi, getting rid of Nasser El Khelaifi or whatever, at least to say, just to picture them as annoying fans that are a minority of fans, that is simply not correct, not just, and that is not reflecting the reality. Because you also, you don't need to be part of an ultra group to sign up and agree with the mentality of the ultras, which is a mentality as well. Singing when the team is losing, it is an ultra mentality. It's not, for example, I can give you the example of me being in England and attending games in England, in London. For example, in England, the fans, I can tell you, mate, when you attend the game and Chelsea or Arsenal or whatever club you want to mention is behind, is 2 or 3, I don't know, like 1-0 behind, 2-0 behind, it's a bit of a quiet game and they're losing, the fans in the stands, they're not really singing and supporting, mate. Until there is a goal, there is an amazing occasion or whatever, and then the fans, they wake up and they start to sing a little bit. But there is nothing to compare with. It's not only linked to PSG ultras, by the way. This is the ultra culture of France in general, yeah. Like all the clubs. You go to Lens, you go to Saint-Etienne, you go to all those. If you have a new ultras in a club, the culture is to even sing when your club is losing, to give them the strength and the support they need to come back as well.
Yeah,
that is dedication. That is not reacting to the scoreline. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm wondering that you're talking about, and you're talking about all these different things that they do, and really, yes. I think it's very important to highlight the sacrifices that they're making, because it is a lot. Like, imagine taking that much time away from your life for something else. Everybody's having a busy life already, more or less. So I think it's important. But what is interesting?
Money-wise as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Money-wise, they spend a lot of money on their personal finances.
Yeah.
To,
and using the holiday days for the traveling.
Yeah, exactly.
But how,
it's crazy, bro. It's mental. Yeah. It's mental.
What interests me also is now that you were mentioning that there's like a lot of smaller groups that are all under the sort of umbrella of Collectif Ultras Paris.
Yes.
But do you know how unanimous they are? Like, is there consensus between them? Now, there was the situation with Neymar's house. Some of the people went there, but then the head of Ultras, Romain Mabille, said that it was not really the Ultras, or it was some separate or splinter group. But
yeah.
How do they communicate? Coordinate. Are they having like a WhatsApp group, or how does it work?
Yeah, so the way it works is there is an official online group on the website of the Collectif Ultra Paris that is managed by the big heads, like the people actually managing the association, and official communication is on this channel. You are mentioning the example of fans going to the Neymar's house, etc. I don't know how that happened. I don't know how they communicated. I don't even know if it was the ultras anyway. Maybe it was another small group of independent PSG fans. I don't even know what happened here. What I can talk about is the official protest that happened in front of the PSG's headquarters, La Factory.
Yeah.
When it was officially communicated by the ultras that they will gather in front of the head office of PSG in order to protest against the current situation, the ownership, board of directors, some of the players, etc., etc., and it's been organized by the ultras groups and the Collectif Ultra Paris, and the centralized communication on this type of channel, but. Again, I'd say obviously some of the PSG fans, Messi fans, Neymar fans, maybe I should call them that, were shocked to see PSG fans. It was not necessarily only ultras, by the way, that gathered for the protest. Ultras, they gave and they organized it, but I know a lot of PSG fans from the region that are independent, true, diehard PSG fans that showed up to the protest in order to join the protest because they agreed with the message, they agreed with what needed to be shared with the club, so the club can improve the situation and listen to the fans a little bit more.
Yeah.
So again, you, whether you agree with that or not, those people are the ones that are filling out, I insist on that, those are the people that are filling out the stadiums that are going and attending the games and putting the atmosphere. That's just a fact, mate. Like, you can support from far, from another country, and that's great. I'm not even living in Paris anymore, but I do travel to Paris a lot, but it's not the same as when I was living in Paris and attending games week in, week out. It's just a fact. Those guys are the ones that might be listened to a little bit more, because they are the ones sacrificing their life and their finances and everything and attending the games every week. That's it. So again, whether you agree with that or not, football is all about, and remember the dark COVID times when the stadiums were empty.
Yes.
Football is all about attending games. And people here in my area where I live, there are local people supporting the local club, etc., etc. They are the ones involved in the local community, in the club, attending games, buying sometimes ugly kits because they want to support the local club, etc. So again, we have to think about that. But football has changed. Mbappe said it. It's not me. Football has changed, and now obviously you have fans from everywhere in the world, and that we need that, and all the big clubs, they have an international aspect, and we love that. But I think it's unfair to go to someone that is going, is local and going every week attending and supporting the club for ages, because he's going to protest against the player or ownership. And when you say this, you are sitting in your sofa and you're not attending any PSG game. You're not doing any sacrifice at all for your club, apart from commenting the game after the game, or putting a YouTube video or whatever. I think that's unfair. I think that's really unfair.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the things that I've been also thinking a lot about is that when the ultras and other fans, like you rightfully point out, it's not just the ultras, but when the supporters at the stadium, like let's say if they're whistling Messi or Neymar or having some banners or whatever, do you think to what extent it is against that one individual, or is it rather more about what they represent and in terms of like trying to hit where it hurts to the club president or the emir or any of the other higher ups in the structure, how much it is for the player and how much it is for what they represent?
The fans can be also misled. We're all humans. Sometimes shortcuts can be made. Sometimes the players are not even the ones that are responsible for anything. But they are the ones that you see on the pitch, you watch on the pitch, you go. Those are easy targets as well, to be fair. So what I'm trying to say is that it's all about digging a little bit more on what's happening at this football club since the Qatari owners took over. Who's responsible for what? I think Man City, I'm in the UK, Man City is a good example of modern football with respect towards their original fan base and the values of the club and the involvement in the local community. I think Man City is the perfect example that PSG should follow. And I say this in a humble way. I have no attachment whatsoever for Man City, but they are the new rich club like we are. So that's why I take them as an example.
Yeah.
They have new ownership. The club has changed. They received a lot of investment. And look what they've done. They've been patient. They've been listening to the fans, the original true Manchester fans from Manchester as well, the local community. They have offered jobs. They have opened businesses. They have offered jobs to the local people and been involved in local charity as well. People hired at the club are also true Man City fans that are given an opportunity to get involved in the success of the club. And I think that's a very good, successful example. And they've been patient as well with the manager.
Yeah.
They have a proper football strategy. They have implemented a proper style of play. The recruitment of the club is making a lot of sense. They're not signing players just to sign big names, but they're signing players they need, and they give the time to the players to develop so they can fit into the system and into the vision of Man City. And look what they've managed to achieve. Pep Guardiola has not won the Champions League for how long since he joined Man City? He's won all the trophies, the league, etc., but never the Champions League yet. However, what the owners did to him, they gave him full power to choose his recruitment, the players he needed, the budget that he needs, and the time that he needs. The time is the key. I insist on that time. Mm. If you change gaffers every 2 years, and sometimes at PSG less than every 2 years, and then you complain about the result, but you commit the same mistakes over and over again, at one point, it's not coming from the players. It's not coming from the players. Like, the players, they just do what they ask to do. Yeah. But it's not really coming from the players at the end of the day. It's the culture at the club.
Yeah.
It's the club culture that is not working.
Yeah.
And that's what the ultras are pointing out. And I agree with that.
Yeah, no. I think let's get into the specifics, because they had a first meeting with the club and that didn't go so well.
Yes.
And they sort of like pulled out from all the activities. But then they had another meeting and now it looks like things are much better. Basically, the demands, what they were asking for, is to respecting the traditional design of the shirt, the stripe, the stripe as it is known, and the colors sort of accurately organized there, because mm-hmm. this year we kind of have one, but the colors are a little bit wrong way around.
It's always changing. We'll talk about this in a second.
Yeah, and then there's the Stade de France situation. So basically, yep. the demand is to stay at Parc des Princes. This is what we were talking about earlier this year already, you and I on this same show. And then there's the ticket master service for the match day
ticket place. Yes.
These are all very practical things. And it looks like these have been heard now, at least to their satisfaction.
I don't know about the Parc des Princes, though. I know they have obtained, from what I read, I have no inside information whatsoever, but from what I read, like you, on the reports, it sounds like they have obtained the return of the Echter design, which is the original PSG design, for the home kit, at least for next season, and they're working on making it a permanent home kit, and also the restructure of ticket place, because the issue with ticket place is that people were reselling cheap tickets in Auteuil, in the Auteuil stand, and everywhere else, by the way, in the Parc des Princes. They were buying season tickets, but they were actually not attending the games. They were just buying season tickets as an investment and reselling the tickets thanks to the season ticket they have to make extra money out of it. But again, what the ultra said is that the ultra stand is supposed to be an accessible stand financially wise for popular football. And we're not talking about a VIP box or front row tickets or whatever. We're talking about sometimes in the Auteuil stand, in the ultra stands, because of the smoke of the flares, the flags, the tifos, everything. Sometimes, you know what? I can tell you right now, I've seen Messi playing. I've watched him play maybe four games, but I haven't watched him play really, like, properly. Because in the Auteuil stand, you can't really, you're not really paying attention, really watching the game anyway. I don't know if you understand, but because of everything you have in the stand, you're not really, sometimes when there is a neutral group birthday, for example, you have to hold the tifo for about 15, 20 minutes. You're not, you're under the tifo, so you're not even watching the game. So why are you going to pay 250 euros for PSG against Reims in the Auteuil stand when you spend half of the game not watching the game? So yeah, if you go in that stand, you should know that it's to support the team. It's not really to watch the game. If you want to enjoy the game, you go on the sides. You go now in Boulogne, because people are also sitting now. They're not standing, so there's nothing else anymore in Boulogne. So you go on the sides, Tribune Paris or Borély. Then you can watch your game properly, and you're gonna pay more. But normally, ultra stand should be accessible financially wise. and tickets should be accessible. But with the ticket play system, it's changed completely, and you ended up paying tickets that were resold online on this platform for about 150, 160 euros for a game against a bottom table club. I don't know, we can talk about Reims or whatever. Like, I have loads of examples where tickets were not amazing clubs and it was not very important games. But yeah, because it's PSG, you have Neymar, Messi and Mbappe, you are in the auto stand, people are paying tickets 150 euros for this. And it was not like this before.
Yeah, and you can you have a lot of warning examples from a different leagues, from a different countries, that if the stadium becomes like a tourist destination entirely, I mean, we all understand that there's always going to be people who want to visit,
of course,
and all that.
But, of course, but that's part of the game.
If it becomes predominantly a tourist destination, that atmosphere is just going to be dead.
Exactly, 100%. Sorry to interrupt.
No, I was just saying that is essentially like the one thing that a lot of the times when outside people are criticizing PSG, it is on it's a little bit like inauthentic, and it's not really like but it's the atmosphere that really is like the most authentic part of this club
and
in many ways.
What's funny about this is that most of the people criticizing the ultras, when you look at the socials, the social banners is tifos that have been prepared by the ultras.
they have
massive tifos or flares that the ultras created, and they display this on the socials, and at the same time they're criticizing, which does not make any sense, by the way.
Go on. No, I was just about to say that I think one of the important things also is that because these people are very passionate, as we've been mentioning many times, we oftentimes talk about when they are whistling or if they have like some banner that is saying something, but they will also give you the love. They will also give you the energy and their passion and everything, their whole support.
Of course.
If you are like when you do things in a right way, and
don't.
There are a lot of, you know, you can have Javier Pastore walking to the Parc des Princes or maybe
exactly.
Place Matuidi or somebody like that, and the fans are just going to be showing them love much more than
exactly.
They will to a lot of the other players that might be bigger names in the world football.
Exactly, I agree 100%. And going back to this home kit design, the Esther design that they managed to obtain for next season, I invite you and your listeners to have a look at the Real Madrid or Bayern Munich home kit for the past 10 seasons. Have a look at that. Tell me if it's changed drastically. Never ever. The sponsor, Adidas, or it can be Nike, for the big institutions such as Man United or whatever, Arsenal as well, they can't touch the original design of the corresponding club. I can even tell you that from an intellectual property perspective, the red that is used, the type of red that is used from one club to another, is not the same. If you talk to a Liverpool fan, it will tell you that the Liverpool red is not the same as the Man United red. The Man United red is not the same red as the Arsenal red. And if you use a Man United red on a Liverpool kit, there's no way you can do that. It's going to be a madness.
Yeah.
Okay. So same for Bayern Munich, same for Borussia Dortmund, same for clubs in Italy as well. Do you think you can change the home kit of Inter Milan or AC Milan, for example? You know, the stripes, the blue and black stripes, or red and black. You can't do that. It's the home kit. If you want to do something funny for the third kit or the fourth kit, then feel free to do the marketing stuff you want. That's fine. You have two other kits, the third and the fourth kit, to do whatever you want. But my opinion is that the home and the away kit should always be the same. You can twist a little bit of the design, but at least the same color, same design. You can change the color, you can change the sleeves a little bit, you can whatever. But it should remain the same design as Bayern Munich is twisting a little bit every season. The same for Real Madrid, the same for Barcelona. I don't know.
Yeah.
But if you allow the Nike sponsor to do whatever they want, and obviously the fans will not, we're a young club as well. So that's the minimum we ask, is to be respected for the colors of the club and the design. That's it.
Yeah. So these are the kind of values and these are the kind of ideas. And I can say that these particular demands by the Ultras group that they had put out and that they have been negotiating for, I think that it is essentially something that benefits all of us supporters in many ways. Of course, people can be of different opinion about it. But I think on the whole, I think there's quite a lot of consensus around this. Nobody is thinking that these things are, you know, far from what they want anyway. So this is good. What I wanted to also ask from you about is because you're a French person and mm-hmm. and France has got a sort of very vibrant and sort of like a great tradition of demonstrations and protests and all that stuff.
I like the way you say it. You say it in a very respectful and polite way. I like that. It's really funny.
So I'm thinking that to what extent, again, we're talking about some of these things, they kind of get lost in translation, especially when people are looking at these things from other countries, is that what the Ultras are doing, that if it feels a bit blunt or if it feels like, oh, did you have to do this or did you have to like be like this? But how much of it is kind of like the French culture of protest?
That is funny because you say here in the UK, they say no one's protest like the French.
Yeah. I've come to
know
that.
I know it's part of the culture as well. When we are unhappy with something, we make our voices heard and we make our voices heard loud and clear. And that is definitely part of the French culture in general, not only PSG. So that is, as you rightfully mentioned, that is really a French thing. But PSG is a French club, guys. It's the capital of France. It's the capital city. So people tend to forget about this because now there's an international dimension. But it is by default a French club. It is supported mainly by the French people. Even if now there's a massive part of people outside of France that are supporting that club. But obviously the protests will look like the French are protesting because that's the capital city. That's a French club.
Yeah.
And it's part of the culture. So I fully agree with you on that, but that does not necessarily mean that we are spoiled. No, we're not spoiled at all. When we say this is when we protest, people they say, "Oh, how can they protest? They have a lot of money. They have all the big names, the big players in the world. They win the top of the league. Why are they unhappy?" Because what we pay attention to is not the glamorous, shine, bling bling stuff. It is for the fans to recognize themselves in this football club, like we did in the past. If you do not recognize yourself in this club anymore, I will tell you right now, maybe you never heard about this, but you know, we talk with a lot of fans from everywhere in the world. Mm. Some are diehard PSG fans, some are not. We talk with PSG fans from ages ago, diehard. Passionate PSG fans, some of them are telling me, Miko, that as soon as we leave the Parc des Princes and we go to the Stade de France, they will stop supporting PSG.
Yeah.
Bye bye.
Yeah, that's a huge question.
Because, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is like we were last time you were on the show, we were dedicating the, it seems that with you I'm always doing some kind of a special dedicated episodes to one subject matter, but we were talking about this stadium question, and I don't think that too much of it has changed since, so it's still a little bit out in the open. They've been asking from there.
And people that are not attending games like people season ticket holders, etc., people living in Paris, in the Paris region, or I don't know, not necessarily people living in the Paris region, because you have people from everywhere in the world that are sacrificing their finances as well to attend and travel and attend PSG games. You do not necessarily need to be in the Paris region to go to the Parc des Princes. If you do not go and never been to the Parc des Princes, you cannot really understand why PSG fans are so attached to it. It's part of the DNA of the club. So as soon as you take the D of DNA out of the DNA, then you just end up with, I'm sorry, NA, and that is not applicable. You know what I mean? NA not applicable. That was a good one, by the way. You know what I mean? DNA, it's over. You take out something that is part of our blood.
Yeah. No, absolutely, and the significance of the place, you can't take Notre Dame and move it to a shopping mall. It's not going to be the same.
You get
thing.
Me?
yes. So exactly. there's a lot to it, and we will see how that thing is going to unfold, because of course that's a huge practical consideration, and there's all sorts of things. But let's hope that they can find a way to get access to Parc des Princes to make the renovations that it might require for it to become a little bit more suitable for the club.
If I can mention something before we go, what I just would like to mention and thank you for your understanding, but not necessarily your understanding, but for your intelligence when we exchange on this topic. I remember on social networks, and you totally understood the point of view and the analysis that we wanted to make when we were saying there's a difference between PSG season ticket holders attending the games and SOFA, what we call SOFA FC fans that are supporting the club from the SOFA and never sacrificing anything to attend the PSG game. We're not necessarily saying that you guys are less of a fan than the others. We're just saying that is a different type of passion. That is a different type of supporting. And you, that's the best I wish you, Miko. One day we'll go together. We'll take you to the Parc des Princes before it's over. Hopefully it's not going to be over. But and you'll see, you will experience the whole match day experience by going to the Parc des Princes, going to the pub, the bar in front of the stand that is called Les Deux Stades. Or you can go somewhere else, by the way. You go have a little drink with your friends. You have the little atmosphere in front of the stadium before the game with the ultras or the fans singing da-da-da-da. Then you go, you attend the game, even in the tube. Like, bro, it's everywhere. It's the whole experience. It's something that we want to point out that is different from watching week in, week out the games from your sofa and criticizing the people that are actually going and attending the games. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're not. Absolutely. There's no competition between fans. Mm-hmm. We're all supporting the same club. We are under the same banner, same colors, same everything. We should not divide anyone. We're not here to divide the fans. We're not here to divide the PSG fans. We're just here to provide our experience, our local point of view and knowledge, so people can understand what's actually happening with the passion for PSG fans attending the games or ultras or whatever, which is different from supporting in your sofa. That's just a fact.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much too for your insight and thoughts on this.
My pleasure.
This certainly is a topic that we need to have some local knowledge and cultural understanding.
Yeah, appreciate that.
To get to the bottom of it. Thanks so much and enjoy
the work. The work you're doing is amazing, by having different opinions, different people, speaking to different people from everywhere in the world and different expertise and point of views. I think what you're doing is amazing for the PSG community in general. And for all your listeners, carry on listening to Miko and PSG Helsinki Sports Podcast. It's amazing. And I'm not saying this because you invite me, mate, because there are loads of content creators or podcasters that are kind of doing some stuff on PSG because it's fashionable these days, and they jump on the recent success of the club to generate views and clicks, etc., without any knowledge and poor content. But you are one of the few that is proposing to the PSG fans a very good quality content. So big up, man. Carry on, keep up the good work, and I hope it's gonna explode very soon.
So there, quite a good package of information, dare I say. Many, many thanks to Stu, and make sure that you follow him and the whole Parisian Londoner collective online on Twitter. It's at ParisianLDN, and on Instagram, I am Parisian Londoner. They have great projects in store, and there's quality content available by Stu himself and, of course, the entire Parisian Londoner crew. My name is Miko. This is PSG Review, and you can rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you might be listening this to. And find me online at PSG Helsinki on Twitter and Instagram, and PSGHelsinki@gmail.com for email. This is all for now. This episode has been a special one, and we haven't really delved into the nuts and bolts of the recent matches or the forthcoming ones. PSG is very close to the 11th title, but at the moment of recording, it is not yet 100% confirmed, although we are very close to it. Unfortunately, our women's team was the second best in Coupe de France final, but they have a huge match Sunday night coming against Lyon and Parc des Princes, and 3 points from that would take them very, very, very close to the league title. So not going to be an easy match, but anything can happen. So I hope that people will find their way to the park. Until next time, take good care. I will talk to you soon. Peace.